David, after the bye week here, the Canes are finally back. I know everybody was excited for the 3-0 start, the rise in the rankings, to get up to 15, and then they have to wait a week. And it feels like it's been tough. But I want to take back to the Appalachian State game just a little bit. I mean, you were there and watching it, and the atmosphere was all hyped up and stuff. But what was kind of your takeaway from being there and just the experience of being in that environment? And then obviously what you saw. Because Miami was extremely dominant and had the big win there.
It was definitely a cool little game to go to. I mean, the atmosphere was definitely hyped. It was, it was only 36,000 fans in the stands, but it still felt like a big time game because the stands were, fairly close to the field. They had fans kind of wrapping around the whole field, and so yeah, there was definitely a lot of energy in the building. And I think, just one takeaway I have from that game was just how focused the team was. I mean, they were really locked into this game. They were taking Appalachian State seriously. And honestly, like, I noticed it even with Mark Richt on the sidelines. I mean, he was really intense. He was all over the refs the whole game. He was in their ear if he disagreed with something that they called. And he was also all over Brad Kaya in a lot of ways when he was calling plays. So I think Mark Richt really set the tone with the focus and energy of the team in that game, and it just kind of trickled down. And yeah, like you said, it was a dominant performance. I mean, is Appalachian State going to be the best team Miami faces on their schedule? No. But I still think it was a formidable team, and it was on the road. It definitely was a game that had a bunch of challenges. And honestly, I think it was an impressive win, even though Appalachian State is not at Miami's level, not even close, but Miami handled their business, and really it was an impressive blowout win.
I mean, that's how I see it too. Going into the week, there's obviously strengths and weaknesses, and we do this every week with the opponent of just what their strengths are and how they could provide challenges, things like that. You obviously saw things going into the week that Miami could have had trouble with. You mentioned that there were different challenges, either the run game or the environment, the road. Obviously, they've struggled on the road in the past. Don't know how this team's going to react, but. You win 45-10. You're excited. You should be excited about what happened there. And like you said, it's moving forward. And you mentioned something though that kind of caught my ear a little bit because I'm curious. And for people that don't know, you're on the field during games taking pictures, so you see a different you have a different perspective. But you mentioned how Coach Rick was with Kaya. I'm just curious, can you explain more of that? And did you see it the first couple of weeks? And I'm just curious because, we hear how Mark Richt is obviously with quarterbacks, just how he produces them. But I'm curious kind of maybe some things that you saw during that game or maybe what you've seen the last couple.
Well, I mean, it's not like some big show with Mark Richt. Like, it's not like a Jimbo Fisher situation with his quarterbacks, but I did notice it a lot more at Appalachian State when Brad would come off the field. Richt just was talking more sternly to Kaya than he did in the first two games. And also, like, I mean, Coach Richt was basically celebrating a lot more during those big plays again at Appalachian State. And he seemed more upset when some operation things popped up, whether it was some delay of game type situations or holding calls. He was definitely fired up about those kind of calls in terms of getting on his team and correcting those issues. So yeah, I mean, it just seemed like he really wanted to win that game. And that was definitely something I noticed there being on the field.
So Miami, kind of put that away again at Georgia Tech this week. Miami moves up to number 14 in the country. Pretty exciting time. They go at Georgia Tech. David, we've talked a little bit about what we've seen with Georgia Tech, and I know you watched the Clemson game closely. And actually, I've watched Georgia Tech 3 times, and I saw part of their Mercer game. I didn't want to go too in depth on that opponent, but there was a drive in there that I wanted to see. They gave up a 17 play drive, so I watched that whole thing. So I've seen a little bit more than 3 games of them. You saw the Clemson game. I know you were on the boards on our site there that night because they played on Thursday against Clemson. A lot of people probably listening, might have saw that game as well if they haven't seen Georgia Tech before, but that would be a game that they would have seen. What was your takeaway with that game? What are some things that stood out to you if you just focus on that one game there?
Yeah, so I mean, Clemson pretty much dismantled Georgia Tech. I mean, and it's Clemson, so they're one of the best teams in the country, arguably a top five team, definitely a top 10 team. So yeah, I mean, they handled their business. They totally shut down Georgia Tech's offense. Their defensive tackle play was extremely impressive. They were just blowing up those option plays all game. And then, on offense, Clemson did what they did. They probably left some points on the field, I feel like, but they certainly took their shots and had their big plays throughout the game. So, yeah, I mean, look, is Miami at Clemson's level right now, talent-wise, depth-wise? No. But I think Miami can take some of those things that maybe Clemson did defensively and try and use that this week and see if it works for them.
Yeah, I think it's interesting to watch. Just kind of, I've been kind of watching games throughout the year, the future Miami opponents and things like that. And one of the big takeaways I have, and one of the biggest thing that stands out to me, is some of the times, especially on offense, these teams on defense, maybe some things that they're vulnerable to, or maybe some of their weaknesses. Miami, some of these teams that they face, Miami doesn't do that on offense, particularly like. For example, just like Brad Kaya, he's not a scrambler. And some of these teams like Florida State, we've seen, I thought Georgia Tech too, vulnerable against, running quarterbacks, or certain personnel things, whether it's a big receiver that gives people trouble or something like that. I think that I find that very interesting, and I'm curious, what the coaching staff does, because they have to see this on film. Like, okay, this is a weakness of theirs. How can we exploit it? And then, do we have the personnel to do it? And I think some of these times the answer is no, they don't have the. So what do you do? Do you try to design some things to attack their weaknesses? I find it very interesting. And
Well, tell me this. So, I guess when talking about Miami's offense against Georgia Tech's defense, Georgia Tech's pass rush is not very good this year. Do you agree with that assessment?
yeah, that's fair. And it wasn't last year. They don't pile up sacks. They don't pile up tackles for loss. So those are the big things that you stand out with pass rush, and you saw it against Clemson there too.
And what are your thoughts on Georgia Tech's secondary? Because I think I might have this wrong, but I think during that game they said four new starters in the secondary for Georgia Tech.
Four new starters in the secondary. When you okay, just their defense as a whole. So their D line is just kind of solid to me. I'm surprised that they don't get a pass rush, but. They're kind of apply some pressure. I'm surprised that they don't have more sacks, but I think they're solid. I think they're solid against the run. I think they're good against the run at times. The big thing that stands out to me, which is interesting, is their linebacker play. They've kind of rotated in that third spot. Sometimes they go to a typical 4-2-5, which is what Ted Roof has, but sometimes it's a straight 4-3 and they bring in a third linebacker. But their two linebackers, I think they're susceptible. They're not great getting to the sideline. I think you can stretch them out. I think you could, if you do speed runs, pitches, things like that, to get on the outside on the perimeter. But if you keep it between in the box, their D line and their linebackers are pretty good up the middle for the most part. Once they get them locked in, but I think some of the speed issues on the outside gives them trouble. And I think that's something else. What I just mentioned was just about Miami. Some of the things they do well. Miami, we've seen them excel up the middle. You're being obviously Walton, getting up the middle and, going with that double tight end set that they like, to really create mismatches up front. So it'll be interesting to see if they continue to go up the middle, or if they try to stretch them out a little bit.
I'm interested to see, because I mean, certainly most of their runs are those power kind of runs between the tackles. But I think against FAU, kind of in the second half, we saw some run pass options where Mark Walton got on the edges a little bit as a runner, and he had some success against FAU. Now, Georgia Tech's a different animal defensively than FAU. So I wonder if just this week we might see some more of those run pass option type plays.
Yeah, and then kind of just going back to your thing about the Georgia Tech secondary, because I think that's, Miami, clearly we saw the passing game erupt. We didn't see it the first 2 weeks. Start off slow, wrote about it. Yeah, start off slow, and then Brad comes out and has some big performances. I think when you look at the passing game, see Georgia Tech secondary, I think they're fine for the most part. I mean, you mentioned four new starters. You don't see complete bust for the most part. What you've seen, even the first game, you know, when it's and Boston College doesn't throw too well, but you know, you didn't see these glaring holes. They got a safety that I like, 14. I think he leads them in tackles. It's interesting kind of watching them play for 3-4 games and then looking at the stats at the end, like, oh, I'm kind of surprised at certain things. So
yeah, Corey Griffin.
Yeah. So, but I think the biggest thing in the passing game where I think Miami can excel in is their tight end play. I think they can, you know, and we might be saying this all year, David, just because of what the physical tools that they have, the mismatches, and then they've got two of them. You know, you've got Njoku and Herndon that can both create a little bit of mismatches. And I think this is a game where, like I mentioned with the runs, you know, with the linebackers, if you get them on the perimeter, well, if you get some tight ends running routes to the sidelines, you know, are these linebackers going to be able to keep up with them in coverage? And I don't think so. I think Miami can excel. I think they can excel up the middle. And David, we saw it. I know you saw it firsthand against Appalachian State, and it's kind of funny, but we talk about this so much. But what Miami was doing with the bubble screens that first or second drive, the second drive because Mark had the long run on the first one, but just they kept going, go.
Yeah.
Just peppered them like, okay, if this is what you guys are going to do, we're going to do this. And I think you're going to see Miami do that again against Georgia Tech in the sense that they'll exploit a weakness and then just go to it and make them change or keep going to it.
Yeah, I mean, you touched on it, but that second drive at Appalachian State I thought was awesome just because, like you said, it was bubble screen right, bubble screen right, bubble screen left, bubble screen right, bubble screen left. And they just did it the whole field. And Mark Richt was essentially, I mean, it's what we do in Madden. It's like, okay, I got this money play, and until you guys stop it, I'm just going to keep running it. And then Appalachian State kind of adjusted to it, I think, in the second half, and that's kind of when you saw Miami start taking some deep shots to Amon Richards. But, yeah, getting back to Georgia Tech, I think you definitely touched on a big key because I think Miami wants to put those two tight ends on the field together, and that forces a defense to make a decision, okay, are we comfortable with our linebackers trying to cover these tight ends that run extremely well? If the answer to that is no, and they put some safety or more defensive backs on the field, then I think Miami's counter is, okay, we're going to try and mash you now with our power run game. So to me, that's the decision that Georgia Tech has to make, and then Miami has to then counter off that decision and decide what to do with the run or the pass option on those plays.
And I think most people – you know, most people going into this game are pretty confident because Georgia Tech, you know, it was such a difference. You know, they win 11 games 2 years ago, then they, you know, win the Orange Bowl 11-2. You know, then they go 3-9 last year, and you know, just kind of learning more about Georgia Tech, kind of what happened. And you know, they had their top seven running carrier or yardage guys, running back wise, were gone. Top two receivers, so there was offensive personnel changed, and you know, quarterback's still there, but it's different around him. And
I think it's crazy. I mean, when you just look back at that 2014 season, the stats they were putting up was ridiculous. I mean, the quarterback Justin Thomas gained 1,200 yards, and he threw for 1,700 yards, 18 touchdowns, and 6 picks. So I think people remember that team and then look at last year's team, and the feeling is that the talent around Justin Thomas just isn't at the same level. And I know you watched a bunch of their games, Chris. I guess, do you agree with that assessment, or do you feel like this team still has some talent around Justin Thomas?
Yeah, I think we're still kind of waiting to see exactly what this team's about. You know, just kind of, you know, looking back again to last year, you know, they did knock off Florida State when Florida State was kind of going close with everyone.
Yeah,
so that was their only ACC win, but it still was against Florida State. So there's something there. I'll say this about their talent, and I know we kind of touched on it when we asked over the phone when we were talking, but I think the big thing, like, again, I'm looking at these stats, and none of them stand out offensively. They just don't stand out. But I think when I watch them, I think the biggest thing that my takeaway is, okay, they've got this running back, just kind of like two guys stand out to me, like that kind of fit in this mold, maybe a third. So number 22, Clinton Lynch, and number 1, Quay Searcy. Not a lot of touches. and maybe their yardage isn't percent yards per carry isn't great or anything like that, but you see the burst, you see a talent, you see Cersei might only have a few catches, but then it's like, oh, what, he caught this crazy 15 yarder on a fourth down, you know, like they kind of have these plays that stand out. They just don't have that consistency, or they're not used, their usage isn't great. So I think there is talent there. I think that it's in spots. You know, I really like their running back, David. I think we're going to be hearing about him, and I think he's really going to take off at some point this season, Dedrick Mills. He actually leads him in rushing, watched him in the opener. They were very high on him out of high school, had a Florida State offer. So he had, you know, some talent there, and he picked Georgia Tech over some, I think he had some other SEC offers too, but 5'10", 215, 220, just a good solid running back. He has, again, he's another one. You look at the yardage, I'm looking right now, 4.2 yards per carry, but you know, I see, like, you see ability. They like to go up the middle a lot with him, but he's got the ability to take a pitch and go outside and get you 15 yards. So I like his ability. I think he's got a chance to erupt this year. You know, I'm looking at the 200 yards. Well, he was suspended for the second game, and then the Clemson game, they didn't do much. But again, I think that in spots there's ability, maybe not the definite identifiable talent that you're looking for, but I think they're scary enough to that, again, you see it in spots, and you have to be weary of, okay, this guy can do this, you know, or they have this other running back, Marshall, had an 80-yard catch, you know, on the first play of the game against Vandy. So I think you see it in spots. It's just not the consistent thing that you'd like.
How worried are you about, I mean, because from Miami's point of view, they're going to put three true freshmen on the field. How much does that matchup concern you?
Well, it does, because, you know, you watch Appalachian State. I rewatched that game, and now Miami, you know, they held them to 10 points, so you look at that. But there were things, especially early in the game when they had Marcus Cox before he got hurt, that there were 7-yard runs. There were openings. There were just a little late getting there against the run. And, you know, Appalachian State does a little bit of, I wouldn't say trickery, but some deceptive runs in there with their fake handoffs and things. And obviously that's what Georgia Tech does. So, yeah, I'm extremely concerned. I think that all three of them, you know, and again, that second unit is going to play. We've seen it. That second linebacker group is going to get in there. And I think those guys are, they've got a lot of work to do.
To drop off.
They leave a lot of holes out there. But yeah, I'm definitely concerned. And, I just think it's a huge thing. And this is a big task. And Georgia Tech definitely has the ability, even though you didn't see it against Clemson. If you look at what they did against Vanderbilt, it was very impressive. Even though Vanderbilt obviously is not a top tier team, but I think they provide challenges.
I think too, it's going to be a big game for the defensive line. Just, you know, in this 4-3 scheme, these kind of just stopping the run in general, it's more on the defensive line to kind of set the edge on those stretch runs, or to get off blocks, push the middle of the pocket, so to speak, on stopping the run. And so I think, yeah, certainly those linebackers will be in one-on-one situations where they got to make a tackle in space. But also, too, I think the defensive line has to do a good job of spilling those runs to the linebackers so they can make easy plays. So I'm going to be watching all those guys, too, and how much easier they can make the game for those freshman linebackers.
You mentioned defensive line. I know you wrote about it after the game, but what are your thoughts on Chad Thomas and the way he's played?
Yeah.
You know, just what you've seen.
He had a dominant game at Appalachian State. I think he really just kind of took it over in the second half. He was doing a good job against the run. And then also just late in the game, he was getting to the quarterback as well. So I think, you know, one of the big storylines coming into the season was, what would we see from Chad Thomas this year? And I think so far the results have been positive. I think he's definitely been active. I think he's definitely, I don't know what his sack numbers are exactly right now, but he's been in the mix for even more sacks than he's been credited for. So he's done a good job of pushing quarterbacks to his teammates so that they can get sacks. I've been impressed by what he's done this season. I mean, certainly you want to see it continue. And I think he even still has plenty of room to raise his game even more. But I think so far he's definitely been one of the big reasons why the defensive line has played so well so far.
And I think he's going to be. You mentioned key things to stop the run, and obviously the linebackers. But you mentioned the D line and especially that end spot, and especially Chad Thomas. I think he is a key, and we saw it against Appalachian State, like you said. But David, it's kind of the player that we've saw, at Booker T there back in high school, where he was a good against the run. That was kind of his strength, and athletic enough to move in that spot. He's not this true, 10 sack guy,
No.
but I think this is just kind of what he is, and he can be very good in it. And like you said, it's going to be important, especially because the linebackers are a little shaky.
I think also Demetrius Jackson's been good against the run too. I think he's done a good job at setting the edge. And really this is his kind of first year of real action. And I've been impressed by what Demetrius has brought to the table.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. There's no doubt, and some of the things that, and again, like I think, like I said before, I think people are confident. Miami's beat Georgia Tech 6 out of 7 years. Mark Richt is 13-2 when he was at Georgia against Georgia Tech. So, and obviously Paul Johnson wasn't there for all of it, but there's reasons why Miami's confident and why the fan base is confident going into this game. It's just, I do look at Georgia Tech as they do some things well. I want to talk about Justin Thomas a little bit, kind of things I've seen with him. Because he's obviously, David, I mean, we're talking about the running backs and all this other stuff, but he's obviously makes them go. His numbers, I'm looking at him now, his numbers don't stand out. I think he's averaging close to under 130 yards a game, which last year was 150 when they struggled, and the year before it was 200. So I think that if you're looking for numbers to gauge with Justin, you got, that under 200 obviously is what you want. You start getting over that with running and passing, you're gonna have problems. I think the thing about Clemson, what he struggled with, or what they struggled with, which was very interesting to see, obviously Clemson's very talented up front, but David, they were keeping the ball with Justin so much, trying to keep him early on. Let him keep it, or they'd show, and then he'd want to keep it and go on the outside. And that's not, I don't think that's them at their best. Their best is just take Mills, for example, or whoever they want to take, but take him up the middle, and just even if it's only 2, 3 yards, just keep doing that. Then you start, going with these pitches, mixing a pass, but then you get Justin out running, and I think essentially soften him up, and then you get Justin to run, and that he's a big threat. I saw it against Vandy. They were doing these things, and he made some really good plays, particularly in the second half, and really opened the game up. And it seemed like they took that confidence from Vanderbilt, what he was doing there, and just figured, okay, let's just do it against Clemson. It just didn't work. They got to get back to that plan of really, going up the middle more and between the tackles. And I think that you'll see that, and I think that's what'll be interesting. Miami's defensive tackles, particularly Norton and McIntosh. Gerald Willis gets in there. Those guys got to be good early on. They've got to, they've got.
That's a big
You
key
can't
with
give up
Georgia.
6 yard runs early on in drives.
With Georgia Tech in general, you gotta adjust very quickly against them, or else it's gonna be a game. So, I mean, winning that first quarter is big against Georgia Tech, and it's easier said than done because it's extremely hard to duplicate that offense in practice. And so when you see it on the field against Georgia Tech, it's kind of like a shock situation. So yeah, I mean, you're right. They got to establish things from early in the game on. You touched on Justin Thomas' running ability. Obviously, that's kind of what he does best. What would you say about just their passing threat? Obviously, every year they want to have that downfield passing threat, big play threat in the passing game. Is there much of one this year?
Well, they certainly don't have the NFL top tier guy that they've always had. They've seemingly always had, where they've got that one guy that's just a beast, obviously dating back to Calvin, but Demaryius was there. Stephen Hill was a good player, got in the NFL. They've always kind of had that guy. Ricky June is their top receiver. He's not that level, but he's one of those guys, like I mentioned with Cersei, like he makes tough catches. He has the ability to make tough plays, and you have to account for him, I guess, is the biggest way to say it. They like to start Brad Stewart on the other side. To me, he's not much of a threat, good blocker, and you got to be aware of his blocks, especially pinching in on runs to the outside. But I think that that's just the thing. You know, June and Cersei are their top two in terms of like just talent wise, but you just have to be aware that you know you can't just assume that they're not going to catch the ball or make tough plays. But because I saw it, you know, I think Justin will throw it into traffic. You know, I think he'll give guys chance to make plays, and he made some really good plays. You know, against Boston College, they were down in the fourth quarter, and he made this crazy drive. He made, I think, two great throws and made this. He made, you know, David, I think this is something to watch for because you don't see many quarterbacks do it. He, you know, he looked like he was going to throw, and then he does a pump fake and then runs like has a huge run down the stretch. So that's there in his arsenal too. And I just think that you can't sleep on the numbers or what they've done because there is something there with some of these guys, and they can break out at any moment, and you can't just assume because it hasn't happened yet. Because again, you see something with these guys. I think that's the best way to describe their passing game is just maybe they haven't had the number of throws, and Justin's completion percent is obviously not good, but you know there is some potential there, and you'd hate for Miami to go into a game and then allow them to break out.
Yeah, I mean it's key for the cornerbacks to not get caught looking in the backfield, which again is easier said than done against Georgia Tech. So guys like Corn Elder, I guess Mark Richt said on the radio this morning, Adrian Colbert's gonna return this week, so he'll be back, which I think is a boost for the secondary. So those guys just gotta be sound and limit the big plays, because if you can do that, then it certainly makes Georgia Tech even more one-dimensional than they already kind of are.
I think the one thing that I'll be looking for this week during the game is just because we've talked so much about it in the past, but just in-game adjustments. You know, like you said, the first quarter is key. Well, what if it's not? Or what if they don't play well in the first quarter? How do they adjust? You know, not necessarily wait until halftime, but how are in-game adjustments made on the fly? And I think that will, you know, maybe we'll see it this week. Well, certainly, you know, throughout the season, they'll definitely pop up. It'll be more evident, you know, and especially Florida State coming up. But, you know, I'm just curious on that. You know, what are we going to see that maybe if things aren't going quite right, what adjustments will be made, and how do they pull through with some of those things? I think that'll be something that I'll be watching for, and on both sides of the ball, David. I think just because it's important, and we didn't, you know, you got to do it. And I think you got to think in the moment, and Rick obviously has the experience to do that.
This game, well, also just Manny Diaz. I mean, this game is a huge game for the defensive coordinator, whoever it is that is playing Georgia Tech, because he's got to react quickly to what he sees on the field and make those changes. So definitely Manny Diaz is a guy to watch this week. And you know, we'll see it, how tested the defense is. They haven't really been tested yet this season, so that could get interesting too.
I feel like we're obviously talking a lot about Georgia Tech and some of the things that they do and things like that. David, I know people listening are going to want to know more about Miami itself. Some guys, maybe some guys that have stood out to you, just off the top of your head, just maybe a few guys that were just like, man, these guys are really off to good starts, or maybe even better than you expected.
Well, I do like what the three defensive tackles are doing so far with RJ McIntosh, Kendrick Norton, and Gerald Willis. I think those guys are definitely making things happen on the inside there, making things uncomfortable for opposing quarterbacks, and they're also extremely active in the running game. So I think those guys are kind of unsung heroes. They don't get much credit, but they're definitely. I mean, you could make the argument they've been the three best players on the defense this year. And they've done a good job with setting the tone.
I think on offense, you know, it was good to see. I mean, David, we expected Amon Richards to have a good season. You just don't want to wait too long before you start seeing it, and you saw it early on with the touchdown, I think first game, and then the big games, the big gains against Appalachian State. So good to see him because they
It
need
was
him. They,
huge.
yeah, they need him this season. Kaya needs all the weapons he can get, and you know, he's that downfield. He's got that speed. So it was good for him, you know, to make those plays.
I think it was big that they got Stacy going a little bit against Appalachian State. He had two touchdowns, I think about 80 something yards in the game. But it's important to get him going, because here in the ACC schedule, they're not going to win many games if Stacy isn't producing. They need that threat, because he is a big play threat. He's a very good player. They need to keep getting him more involved. And I was glad to see that against Appalachian State.
David, go
Also,
ahead.
too, I want to ask you, Chris. I mean, we talked about this yesterday, but just Mark Walton, obviously, he's off to an extremely good start, better than I expected. I mean, I'll admit it. I thought Joe Yearby was going to be the guy this year. What do you take from these first three games from Mark? And I guess just generally, do you have a sense for how good he really is?
It's just hard to tell with those first two opponents because you should be able to throw any running back in there and they should be able to run against FAMU and FAU, you know. So, and we saw that obviously in the opener, three guys get 100 yards, you know, and just so it's kind of hard to tell. And but, you know, that run against Appalachian State, you know, after the game, I called it the top play of the game, that 80 yard run. I mean, setting the tone. And David, that was for no gain, you know, that was for 3 yards or
Oh yeah,
whatever.
it was huge.
And he popped off that, and I think that was an impressive run. You want to see more of that.
He also had some good runs against FAU. I mean, the little spin move
Right.
to and then busted it outside. I mean, he's looked better than I thought.
And I think that's what you want. I think those are the things you want to point at. Not necessarily the yardage totals yet, because you know they're obviously high. I think it's just those special runs you want to see. Like you said, little moves here and there, because I think that'll, you know, those will be key, obviously, down the stretch as things get tougher. And I think that'll be the thing. We'll see more of what he's going to be or what he is. Obviously, this month is huge for the team, but you know, against Georgia Tech, he'll be challenged. You know, and
Sure.
I, yeah, he's definitely done well. You can't say that he hasn't. And so it'll be interesting to see how he goes. I think the jury's still out on him because, you know, again, you know, the 3.5 yards a carry last year. I still think is a question mark just in terms of, you know, he's got to erase that. And obviously he's off to a great start now. It's just, what will he do against these other opponents? And, you know, will we see him actually, you know, really take control here?
I think too, you got to give Mark Richt and his offense credit for the way that he started, because certainly Richt's offense puts these running backs in a great position to make plays, and Mark Walton is taking advantage of that. And so, you know, I think just looking towards the future too, it's going to be fun to see the type of big time backs that Miami can get in this offense, because Mark Richt certainly had success recruiting that position at Georgia. And I think we now see why. And I think they're just going to keep landing big time guys at that position in the future too.
Yeah, and I think that's key, obviously. You know, I think you know, I've talked to other coaches about this of just, you know, when you get to a new place, you hear about reputation, but once you start having actual results to present to kids, to present to recruits, I think it's huge. And I think, like you mentioned, you'll start to see, you know, if Miami, assuming that they do have a good running season and whatnot, and guys stand out, obviously it'll be a huge tool in recruiting moving forward to say, hey, this is what our backs do and this is how they are used in our offense. And it's really gonna, you know, the whole offense in general will be evaluated. You know, you have some tight ends that might put up some numbers. You have a receiver in Coley, like you mentioned. You have a freshman that's going to play a lot. You have a quarterback that should put up numbers. So it's a big year for the offense just in terms of the future and showing recruits this is what this position does in our offense.
I think too, I mean, we're kind of wrapping up here, Chris, but I think just two things we should touch on quickly that happened last week. I guess the new uniforms, kind of old school look, you know, just kind of a fun thing for fans and recruits really. But it definitely brings some juice, some energy to the program. And then also the announcement of the plans for the indoor practice facility, which is definitely a big deal for the program. I guess just, you know, each one of those thoughts, what are kind of your thoughts on those two things?
I'll start with the indoor practice facility because I think that's such a tangible thing and such a, you know, I think it's good because it's been talked about so much. And when things are talked about so much, eventually it has to happen. You know, it can't just be talk. It frustrates people if it doesn't happen. So it was good to see their talk, their plan, their words come to action, come to fruition. And I think it's going to be good. You know, it's something that's been talked about for years. Obviously, you know, it didn't seem like it was ever going to happen. And then, you know, it's just great that they're doing that. Again, the upgrade in facilities, you know, last year I did that tour around, you know, where they showed me the facilities and put a bunch of photos on our site. But it's just good to see the facilities. You know, I've said it before, but you can't question them. You know,
Yeah.
use it as a
criticize
tool.
anymore.
No, and this is just another example of that. And so obviously that's big, and it'll be good when they get that. And the uniforms, oh, they are what they are. You know, I think, you know, it's, I think it's good. People are excited. You know, it, I think it's still, to me, it's still a transition going to Adidas. But you know, if you, for people that question that, you look at Georgia Tech over there with Russell Athletic, so it could be worse.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a big uniform guy. I don't really care that much about all that stuff, but I do think they look kind of cool. They definitely look better than what they started with Adidas, I think. So, yeah, I mean, it seems like the recruits are excited about it, and to me, that's kind of just what the biggest deal is, you know, if recruits think it's cool, then all right, that's good.
So there you go. Great sounding wait, great final words there. So again, we'll have a bunch of stuff on the site. I'll start putting all these, you know, all this stuff that I've been watching on Georgia Tech, start putting it on words, put it on the sites rather than ramble off a bunch of stuff and try to throw stats at you guys. But so I'll have that. I know, David, you're working on stuff this week to put up posts on the site. We're gonna,
yeah.
You know, it's good. I mentioned it early. Yeah. The bye week happened, and now it's, what are we, 9 straight games in a row or whatever it is. So it's going to be exciting. It starts with Georgia Tech, and then October is just such a huge month. So obviously it'd be important. I think, you know, we're both expecting Miami to win this week. I guess,
yeah.
I would just caution that I do see things on film that Miami has to account for Georgia Tech. And I think Georgia Tech can be a threat if these things aren't addressed. And we'll see how it goes. Again, it's another road contest. Miami's not played well on the road in the past. They obviously showed up against Appalachian State, so we'll see. Maybe it's a new team. They've talked about it so much, so let's see results and see how it goes.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, ACC schedule brings a whole different set of challenges, and like you said, the month of October is going to be a lot of fun to follow, so keep checking out the site. We're definitely going to have a lot of recruiting coverage coming up too with the Florida State week coming up. But yeah, it'll be a fun week, and thanks for listening, guys.
All right, we'll talk to you guys later.